This is Evan Dietrich Smith, and you're watching Cheesehead TV.
Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou, joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking our way through a Packers loss this morning. The second consecutive loss at Lambeau Field. That hasn't happened since 2008. It is quite disappointing. The Packers lose to the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday, 27-13. We're trying to figure out what happened here. And what happened was it was a second consecutive defensive collapse for the Green Bay Packers. I think everybody expects the Packers to struggle without Aaron Rodgers. But surprisingly, the offense has done enough for the Packers to win games in each of the past 2 weeks. They haven't been perfect by any means. Seneca Wallace and Scott Tolzien are not Aaron Rodgers, but they've put the team in a position to win at least. The games have been competitive. They've been close. The Packers have been in contention in both those games, but come out on the losing end. And the surprising part is that the defense was to blame. And the defense was actually good early in the season. Packers run defense, especially at, what did the Packers run defense climb to at one point? I think they were ranked third in the entire NFL at the highest point. Did they even get up to second maybe? I think it was third, but they climbed that high in the NFL. I don't even know what it's at right now. I'm kind of scared to look it up. I assume they're kind of a middling rank now in the NFL compared to other teams, but it is baffling. And so the thing on everybody's minds, if you're a Green Bay Packers fan right now, is what Mike McCarthy was kind of cryptically referring to in his post-game press conference. He referred to, quote, recurring issues, end quote, that he is going to address today. And declined to elaborate, of course. It actually surprised me that he even kind of brought it up to begin with. Mike McCarthy is usually a guy who handles things behind closed doors like that, at least. There is no shortage of speculation that the Packers will or should fire defensive coordinator Dom Capers. He is very much squarely on the hot seat right now. And I can understand the seat being hot. I mean, after these past 2 weeks, when the defense was showing signs of being much improved this season, to totally reverse course is rather odd. Is rather odd. And people are wondering, is this the recurring issue that Mike McCarthy, he says he's going to address it. Is this how he's going to address it? Is he actually going to go so far as to fire an assistant coach? Well, that would be unprecedented because Mike McCarthy has never fired an assistant coach in season. Of course, he made wholesale changes on the defensive coaching staff following 2008, as Jamie notes on the live blog, that being a fun season, the last time the Packers had lost consecutive games at home. Firing defensive coordinator Bob Sanders and much of the defensive coaching staff. It's not as if Mike McCarthy hasn't made changes before. He's just hasn't made them in season. So based upon the way Mike McCarthy operates I don't see Dom Capers being fired today. I that wouldn't be the most unusual solution in the world. I say there's a chance it happens. I leave that the door open to that possibility, but just based upon the way Mike McCarthy operates, I don't expect that to happen on Monday. I think he'll get a chance to redeem himself, Dom Capers I'm talking about. He'll get a chance to fix things. Now, I don't know if it continues to happen the next couple weeks, the next several weeks. I don't know if you can wait till the end of the season to fire Dom Capers or perhaps others on the defensive coaching staff. I'm not really sure who would be most at fault on the chopping block in Green Bay. Boy, oh boy. Cornerbacks coach Joe Witt, maybe? I shouldn't even say that. That is pretty unfair. I mean, there's issues all over the Packers' defense. They are not confined to any one area, I'll tell you that. But yeah, I mean, so everybody's waiting today to see how Mike McCarthy addresses it. But, if I know Mike McCarthy, it's going to happen behind closed doors. But he is going to have to tell the media at some point. I mean, he cryptically, kind of refers to these recurring issues. And now he says he's going to address it. Well, the media isn't going to let him off the hook this afternoon. Mike McCarthy has a press conference, as he does weekly, every day after a game. He has his day after game press conference, 3 p.m. Central Time. It'll be streamed live on the Packers official website at Packers.com, so you can go check it out. The media is not going to let him off the hook. He'll be asked what the recurring issue is and how he addressed it, but how much he chooses to divulge to the media kind of remains to be seen. I think he'll handle it behind closed doors, but there you go. I mean, there's my take on what the recurring issue is and what will happen. I think Dom Capers will get a chance to redeem himself, but his jobs are squarely on the line at this point. Things got to change. And I said it before. I mean, what's unusual about this whole thing is that the offense has actually put the Packers in position to win. I think, like I said, people expected, the Packers offense to struggle when Aaron Rodgers went out, and they have kind of. But, I mean, the silver lining kind of from Sunday's game was the performance of quarterback Scott Tolzien. And I said this on Twitter, on social media. I think I wrote a post on CheeseheadTV.com as well, mentioned this in one of my blog posts. But, I mean... Scott Tolzien, I'm not saying he's the answer. I'm not saying he's the best thing since sliced bread. But I've seen the Packers trot out 5 backup quarterbacks this season, 2013. I'm talking training camp here as well in preseason. But, I mean, these names, Graham Harrell, B.J. Coleman, Vince Young, Seneca Wallace, Scott Tolzien. In one game, Scott Tolzien proved himself to be the best option among those 5. I'm not saying those are the best 5 options in the world. Scott Tolzien looked poor in 2 interceptions that were costly. Those interceptions cost the Packers, but there was a lot to be optimistic about with Scott Tolzien. He showed he can push the ball downfield better than any other Packers quarterback since Matt Flynn, any backup quarterback since Matt Flynn. That the ball doesn't get there as quick as Aaron Rodgers. But, all things considered, considering Scott Tolzien was on the practice squad to begin the season, considering he didn't even really get the reps in the week prior to this game. Sure, he probably got a few reps here and there, but the plan was not going into the game for him to be the quarterback. All the preparation went to Seneca Wallace, who As I should mention, Seneca Wallace exited the game after the first possession with a groin injury. Injuries are a whole nother issue. We got plenty of topics to talk about on today's show when the time comes here. But Scott Tolzien looking like the best option the Packers have going forward, and Mike McCarthy wasting no time. Mike McCarthy's no fool. He saw what Scott Tolzien did and has already named him the starter for the Packers' next game against the New York Giants. Not willing to go anything beyond that, but yeah, I mean Scott Tolzien, he gives the Packers a chance. He really does. Now he has to learn from his mistakes. Now that throw on the out route to Jordy Nelson in the end zone in the second quarter, that was not a good throw. Had he had a stronger arm, maybe it's a good throw. Aaron Rodgers could get away with that. Or Scott Tolzien just has to know what works and what doesn't. Maybe he can make that throw because Jordy Nelson was open. But if he doesn't have a strong enough arm, he's got to put more loft on it. Something to compensate for that long out route. That takes a long time for the ball to get there. Of course, you know what happened. The ball was intercepted by the Philadelphia Eagles and returned, 76 yards, something like that. Really, really a disheartening moment in the game because of all the situation that preceded it. Scott Tolzien had proceeded to drive the Packers, 90-some yards down the field on an 8-minute drive. I think it took 16 plays. You're like, oh, yeah, the Packers offense is operating quite efficiently right now. And for that moment to happen, not only be intercepted in the end zone of all places, you know, when the Packers are knocking on the door of the end zone, but then for the interception to be returned 76 yards, it was just deflating at that point. You just kind of be like, oh man, that right there might have been the lowest point of the game for me, even though the Packers were still, they were only down 7-0 at the time and still very much in the game. It just was so disheartening because of the situation that it happened in. But Scott Tolzien, Packers starting quarterback moving forward. Reports from Ed Werder of ESPN today say that the Packers are working out Matt Flynn. I mean, it's been reported for now probably, an entire week that the Packers would work out Matt Flynn. But there had been no time frame placed on it. I think everybody, not everybody, but many people kind of assumed maybe working out Matt Flynn would be kind of incumbent on the performance of Seneca Wallace. And if he really stunk, maybe the Packers would consider signing Matt Flynn. Well, it didn't really come down to Seneca Wallace stinking. He only got one possession. He actually completed 5 of 5 passes. They didn't go over very far. But anyway, he's injured. He injured his groin. I guess the Packers have to move on from Seneca Wallace because, I mean, he's done okay, but he hasn't looked anything special, and Scott Tolzien certainly looks better. If Seneca Wallace were healthy enough that he could play this upcoming Sunday against the Giants, maybe they would keep him. But, if Seneca Wallace is going to miss time at all, I think the Packers just simply have to move on and sign Matt Flynn regardless, even if he does kind of have some sort of elbow issues or whatever. Packers would have to move on at some point here. But so that's kind of coming down the pike today as we wait for all sorts of things. Like I mentioned, injury issues here. Packers suffered 6 injuries in yesterday's game, and let's see if I can name them all here. We've got on the defensive side of the football, Casey Hayward, who suffered a hamstring injury. Of course, he's dealt with hamstring injuries all season long. If this happens to be the same one, and he re-aggravated it, Casey Hayward's season could be done. I'm not holding out much hope for him. Man, that would be very disappointing what happened there to Casey Hayward in the 2013 season. Nick Perry hurt his foot. Another thing, he had an injured foot coming into the game, and it was kind of rather surprising, I thought, that he did suit up at all. So he had an injury. Johnny Jolly on the defensive line doesn't appear as if his injury is major. He actually got injured, went out of the game, came back in, and then kind of limped off the field again later and never returned. So Johnny Jolly kind of dealing with a more, I think something he can work through. How quickly remains to be seen, but anyway. Also, on the offensive side of the football, you've got the offensive line in shambles right now. The good news is I don't think maybe these injuries are season ending to Evan Dietrich Smith and Don Barclay. So the Packers, you know, only have seven offensive linemen active for the game. They needed all seven, and they were down to their final five by the time the game ended. Had they suffered one more injury on the offensive line, I don't know what the Packers would have done. You know, there's kind of a lot of attention on the quarterback position. The actually announcing that John Kuhn is the Packers' emergency quarterback should push come to shove. I thought it was Jordy Nelson. It had been in the past, at least. But I don't know who the Packers' emergency offensive lineman would be. Probably a defensive lineman if it came down to it. Anyway, Packers having all sorts of injury issues on the offensive line. TJ Lang, I give him credit. TJ Lang has never played a snap at center in a game before. Even in the preseason, they've never given TJ Lang any time at center. Well, he has to step in at center for Evan Dietrich Smith. And I don't know how long they want TJ Lang playing at a foreign position. Yeah, they can get away with him for one game, finishing out a game. And he did a good job just simply not turning the ball over. I think that in itself is an accomplishment. He was a steadying influence, but I mean, you could tell he's not comfortable there. It takes some getting used to play center, but I do give him credit for filling in and keeping the Packers offense alive. They didn't move the ball quite as well after Dietrich Smith went out. But I don't know, whether the Packers make any moves there is going to depend upon how bad the injury to Dietrich Smith is. That they've got Garth Gerhardt, a center, on the practice squad. If Dietrich Smith misses time, they may need to elevate Gerhardt, but it depends on how severe the injury is. We'll find out as the Packers kind of deal with these injury issues here, and of course the injury to Wallace as well. As I kind of run through all these, but getting back to the defensive collapse here for the Green Bay Packers. There are basically two statistics that are very, they're as good as any measuring tool whether a team will win a game. And we've talked at length about turnover margin on the show. Packers defense this year is not forcing many turnovers, and especially interceptions. The Packers defense has intercepted three passes this year. That is the least in the entire NFL. Three passes. They've now played, what, nine games, right? And they've intercepted three passes in nine games. Terrible. Terrible. I mean, that's part of the reason jobs are on the line right now on the defensive side of the football. and turnover margin in general, when you compare what the Packers' offense is giving the ball away, and they had the two interceptions. They only took the ball away once, and that was on a fumble recovery. And good job, Mike Daniels and Tremont Williams kind of combining there to force a fumble. But the Packers still coming out on the negative side of the turnover margin, being minus one yesterday. That's not going to cut it. The defensive margin basically predicts whether a team is going to win or lose most of the time. Not always, not entirely. But I mean, if you finish on the positive side of the turnover margin, there's a very good chance you'll win. If you finish on the negative side of turnover margin, there's a very good chance you'll lose. And the other kind of measuring stick, the other kind of predictor of whether or not a team will win a game is passer rating differential. What your quarterback kind of compared to the opposing team's quarterback. And I mean, what you've seen is the past 2 weeks, while Seneca Wallace and Scott Tolzien have been, capable, they each, finished with more turnovers than touchdowns. That's simply right there tells you a lot. Scott Tolzien threw one nice touchdown to tight end Brandon Bostic. We'll give him a thumbs up for that, both of them. In the two interceptions Scott Tolzien did, he finishes with a passer rating of somewhere in the 70s. But if you look at what the Packers defense has allowed opposing quarterbacks to do, and I'm talking the past 2 weeks here, Nick Foles yesterday, and then the Bears backup quarterback the week before, when you look at those performances, they're making these guys look like studs. Nick Foles throws three touchdowns, zero interceptions yesterday. And the Bears backup quarterback did the same the week before. There was no pressure on these quarterbacks. The Packers provided a little bit of pass rush yesterday, but nobody's doing their job. There was no pass rush from the linebackers yesterday, and that's where your pass rush primarily comes from. It's nice when it comes from the defensive line, but it's got to come from the linebackers game in and game out, and it didn't yesterday. It didn't the week before. And then, of course, the Packers secondary, which I should be spending more time on the show here today, especially in light of yesterday's game. And their poor performance, absolutely pathetic, horrible. Packers secondary didn't get it done yesterday, particularly the safeties. Both Morgan Burnett and MD Jennings were at fault yesterday for very poor performances, missing tackles for one. They were certainly part of the reason the Packers gave up over 200 rushing yards yesterday. But on top of that, the way they performed in pass coverage was pathetic as well. Morgan Burnett getting beat on the double move by Riley Cooper for a long touchdown pass. MD Jennings not getting sufficient depth and helping Devon House out on the 45-yard pass to Riley Cooper down the middle for a touchdown. And then Morgan Burnett that first touchdown of the pass, the long one to DeSean Jackson. Tremont Williams was actually in great position to knock that ball down. And then Morgan Burnett, I think, kind of tips it up. And, of course, Eagles get lucky. They're actually in position to make a good play, and the Eagles kind of get lucky there. And what can I say? I sit here and I shake my head as I'm saying it. The Packers, they're not alone. Devon House gets beat. Sam Shields again has missed tackles, although Sam Shields in coverage has been rather solid, all things considered, the whole year long. I mean, he's the best of what the Packers got from a secondary standpoint. Tremont Williams got beat for a 20-plus yard completion, letting an interception kind of go through his hands. Everybody, it seemed, was at fault at one point or another. But, I mean, when everybody in the secondary is at fault once, it adds up. You know, Morgan Burnett gives up the touchdown. Devon House and MD Jennings combined to give up the touchdown. Tremont Williams, even though he was in good position to make the play, doesn't make the play, and it ends up in a touchdown. I mean, all these things add up, and they add up to points on the scoreboard for the opponent. And it brings me back to here, the quarterback rating differential. The Packers absolutely make their quarterback, Nick Foles, look like a stud on Sunday, while the Packers' quarterback passer rating is just average. And when that happens, I mean, the team that wins quarterback rating differential pretty much wins the game. It's one of those predictors that predicts a win or a loss better than almost any other statistic in the game. The turnover differential and quarterback passer rating differential predict what's going to happen in a game, and it's happened these past 2 weeks. The offense is doing enough to get by, but the defense is failing them. And I mean, these games are basically, the past 2 weeks, mirror images of each other. And really, the dagger, as Packers play-by-play announcer, radio announcer Wayne Larrabee would say, has come in the fourth quarter both these weeks, when the opponent has gone on long, sustained drives and the Packers cannot get the ball back. And in each case, I mean, you saw last week against the Bears, this week against the Eagles, the Packers are putting the extra safety in the box. They're bringing these guys down. They know the opponent is just trying to run out the clock. They're going to run a heck of a lot more often than they pass. And the Packers still couldn't get it done. They still couldn't get it done. You talk about, you know, well, why is Dom Capers on the hot seat? You know, there seems to be no rhyme or reason, no game plan going in. You know, I take people back to the first game of the season against the San Francisco 49ers, and albeit being a loss, going into that game, the Packers had a definite defensive game plan, and they were going to stop the 49ers running game no matter what. They were going to stop the read option, and they were going to stop Frank Gore come hell or high water, and you know what? They did. Yeah, they let Anquan Boldin get loose for a couple touchdowns, and that falls on the secondary. But I gave Dom Capers a whole lot of credit for that first game of the season, for coming up with a defensive game plan that kept the Packers in the game and kind of shut the 49ers down. But that's been it. It's been downhill since the first game of the season. Well, not entirely. Like, you know, the Packers go through this four-game winning streak, and they're looking good, and the defensive performance, especially the run defense, is doing an admirable job. But then these past 2 weeks, it's been backwards. They can't stop opposing quarterbacks from looking like Johnny Unitas, and on top of that, you know, they can't stop LeSean McCoy yesterday. They can't stop Matt Forte the week before. They're both rushing for over, 120 yards. You know, what happened to that stiff run defense from early in the season? Man, you sit there and think they got these big horses up front, the Packers' defensive line, these big bodies, B.J. Raji, Ryan Pickett, Johnny Jolly. How's a team going to run on these guys? Well, teams have found a way the past 2 weeks. What's up with that? And I mean, yesterday, the Packers' defensive line kind of was dealing with some injury issues, both both Ryan Pickett and Johnny Jolly were not 100% yesterday. And certainly that adds to it, to the Packers' whole litany of issues here, injuries that they're dealing with. It's tough right now. And so many of them are just kind of nagging injuries. It's making it tough for the Packers to field 46 healthy players on game day. It's making it exceedingly tough to do that. And I don't know where the Packers go from here, whether guys are going to end up on injured reserve and they can free up some roster spots or not. It's a tough one. It's a tough one. I suppose I should mention Mason Crosby missing two field goals for the first time this season. Certainly he didn't do his job of helping the Packers out. And it was windy yesterday in Green Bay, in Lambeau Field, in the state of Wisconsin, even where I'm at down in Beaver Dam, it was windy yesterday. And you do kind of look at that as being an issue. But still, they were makeable field goals for Mason Crosby. It was disappointing because he had been kind of trending in the right direction this season as well. Kind of the same case Mason Crosby is with the defense. They were doing good, and then all of a sudden, not so hot yesterday as Mason Crosby misses more than one field goal for the first time this season. I will give him credit that they were close. Both Mason Crosby's misses were close, whereas last season, 2012, sometimes those balls weren't even close to the goalposts. At least he's hitting them solidly, and maybe it's an issue of wind yesterday, but still, you know, that's 6 points on the scoreboard the Packers could have had and didn't. So, you know, that was kind of a tough pill to swallow there as well. It is what it is. That's, you add all these things up, and that's how you come to a Packers loss yesterday. The Packers dropped to 5-4 on the season now. I am not holding out a whole lot of hope for the Green Bay Packers and their chances to make the playoffs. I always give the benefit of the doubt to the home team. I think home field advantage is so important in sports in general. High school, college, pro, you name it. I think home field advantage is so important. And to see the Packers drop two in a row at home, I don't know how I can pick the Packers to win on the road, especially without Aaron Rodgers. I don't know how I can pick the Packers to win next week at the New York Giants. I gave them the benefit of the doubt at Lambeau Field. I predicted the Packers to win. I saw I wasn't the only one. I certainly knew things weren't hunky-dory in Green Bay without Aaron Rodgers and with a defense that had kind of shown signs of regressing. I watched ESPN's pregame show yesterday, and I think 4 out of 5 guys predicted the Packers to win. You know, I give the benefit of the doubt when they're at home. But now, without Aaron Rodgers, heading on the road to a Giants team that's, what, won 3 in a row? The perfect storm's kind of happening here where things are not looking great for the Green Bay Packers. I can't see a win coming this upcoming Sunday against the New York Giants. I can't see it. I'm certainly leaving the door open to that possibility. I'm not counting the Packers out. But, man, things. Mike McCarthy is going to have to make some sort of change or address in some issues here if the Packers are going to come away with a win. They're going to have to play better on defense than they have these past 2 weeks. That there you go, folks. I wish I could be the bearer of better news. I wish I could bring more hope and optimism, and maybe the optimism comes back when Aaron Rodgers comes back. But the Packers got to find a way to stay afloat without him.
And we hope that they do. We hope that they do. But it is tough to find that silver lining right now. And maybe it comes in the form of Scott Tolzien. He was the silver lining on Sunday and gives you hope going forward. But yeah, the Packers finding themselves in a difficult position right now as they're trying to, stay afloat and stay in the NFC playoff race in spite of many injuries and in spite of a defensive collapse that's kind of happening. Packers going to look for a way to turn it around, and we wait for moves to come today. Packers working out Matt Flynn. Mike McCarthy says he's going to address these recurring issues. We wait for Mike McCarthy to address them later today in a press conference. So stay tuned to Cheesehead TV all week long for all your news needs. Anyway, on behalf of Jamie Snowden, I'm Brian Caravu. We'll see you later, everyone. Join us every Monday, Wednesday, Friday here at Cheesehead TV at 8:30 a.m. Central Time for another edition of Rail Bird Central. I leave you today with a song called The Place That I Call Home by the infamous String Dusters on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go, Pack, go.